The following is an encore episode of The Archbishop Show with Archbishop Thomas J. Rohde and featuring the Director of the Office of Family Life and Evangelization, Patrick Ahrensberg. On this episode, the topic is the papacy. We hope you enjoy. From the Archdiocese of Mobile, Archangel Radio presents The Archbishop Show with Archbishop Thomas J. Rohde and featuring the pastor of St. Vincent de Paul Parish in Tillman's Corner, Father Stephen Brazell. And now, your host, the Director of the Office for Evangelization and Family Life, Patrick Ahrensberg.
Hello, welcome to The Archbishop Show. I'm Patrick Ahrensberg, Director of the Office for Evangelization and Family Life.
And I'm Father Stephen Brazell, pastor of St. Vincent de Paul Parish at Tillman's Corner. And we are joined and led, as always, by our Archbishop Thomas Rohde.
Well, thank you, Father Brazell. Thank you, Mr. Ahrensberg. And good always to be with you and all those who are listening. It's good to be with you. Today, we're going to talk about the papacy, but a little bit less about the papacy.
The
popacy. The office of pope.
You know, we use these terms. Everyone knows what we're talking about. Papacy, or we're going to talk about the pope.
The office of the pope. But really, more, we're going to focus on how is it that the pope is in Rome and not somewhere else in the world. So before we begin that conversation in earnest, would you lead us in prayer?
In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Dear God, we praise you for your gift of faith. We praise you for our baptism by which you have adopted us as your son, your daughter, and made us part of your family, the church. Help us to be true sons, daughters of you as our Father, and good members of your family, the church, as we offer our prayers through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.
Well, in order to talk about the Pope or the papacy, we're going to have to talk about Peter, one of the apostles of Jesus. So for starters, what kind of man was Peter? What kind of picture does the gospel paint of this man?
It paints a man who was a fisherman. That he lived on the shores of the Sea of Galilee. He made a living fishing in the Sea of Galilee, and that's pretty much what they paint of him. And, he was, from everything the Bible seems to indicate, he was probably somewhat successful in that he had his own boat. He was not a hired hand on the boat. But he had his own boat, evidently, and he made a living selling fish. Until one day, this teacher came along, this rabbi, named Jesus, and called him to follow him.
Yeah, and from that point, Peter is definitely given a certain pride of place amongst the rest of the followers of Jesus. And I don't mean in the time after Jesus' death and resurrection, but very clearly in the Gospels themselves, Peter is the apostle that speaks the most. And Peter is the apostle whose name is always the first in the list of apostles. And not just the list of all 12, but anytime you have like three apostles named, if Peter's among them, he's listed first. So really, very obviously, the authors of the New Testament, especially the Gospels, are making it very clear to us that Peter has a special role to play, even if he came from humble origins, or not so humble origins, but, you know, just a fisherman, like there's nothing really special about that. But Jesus sets him up for something special, and that becomes pretty clear in the Gospels.
And the Gospels do not show that he has special training or preparation. Mm. Except that God chose him for whatever reason, and you know we know in Scripture to clarify some terms that there were many men and women who followed Jesus, who believed in his word, and who trusted him, and these men and women are referred to as the disciples. And so a lot of times you'll hear that word disciples, and from those disciples, those men and women, Jesus chose 12 men for a very special role, and those are the 12 apostles. The Gospels are very clear about that. They give us the names of all 12 of them. It's very clear that Jesus deliberately chose these men, and it's very clear that the early church understood that these 12 were chosen by Jesus for a special role. And from those 12 apostles, as Father Brazell just said, he chose one whose name originally was not Peter. It was Simon. And Jesus says to Simon, I'm going to give you a special role. I'm going to call you Rock. And Jesus didn't speak English, and Peter is an English word. Jesus spoke Aramaic. And the Aramaic word for rock is Cephas, C-E-P-H-A-S, or some people would say Cephas, however one pronounces it. How do we know that? I mean, it's because the Bible says that was the word that Jesus used for Simon. He called him Cephas.
Yeah, that's the word that Paul uses to refer to Peter.
Even when Paul is disagreeing with Peter, he doesn't call Peter Simon. He calls, in his letters, when he says that I disagreed with Cephas, he uses Cephas. He doesn't use Simon. He always calls Peter by the name Jesus gave him, the rock, the leader. And now, Cephas is translated into Greek, and the Gospels were written in Greek. Again, Jesus didn't speak Greek. He spoke Aramaic. But the writers of the Gospels wrote in Greek, and the Greek word for rock is Petros. And from Petros, we get the English word Peter, or in Spanish, the Spanish word Pedro, or in French, the French word Pierre. But the word Jesus would have used would have been Cephas, Kephas, rock.
And in Matthew 16, Jesus is having a conversation with his apostles. And he says, who do people say that I am? And he gets some fairly inaccurate answers. And he says, but you, who do you say that I am? And Simon says, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Jesus then responds, and this is the foundation for the notion of Peter's authority. Jesus says to Peter, you are rock, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of the netherworld shall not prevail against it. I give to you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. What you declare loosed on earth is loosed in heaven. What you declare bound is bound in heaven. So in this one scripture, we see Jesus changing Peter's name to Peter. And what's really interesting is then in John, I think it's in 21, after Peter has denied our Lord three times, it's really interesting because when Peter and Jesus are talking, Jesus is giving Peter a chance to make up for his denials. And he doesn't call him Peter. Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord, you know I love you. Three times he calls him Simon as he gives him. So it's interesting. It's not a minimal thing that Jesus changed his name. I mean, it was so significant that after the fall, he went back to calling him Simon until he had that threefold affirmation of his love to counteract, if you will, the threefold denial of Jesus. So it really is significant that this authority is given to Peter.
Yeah, let's talk about that authority, actually. The words that Jesus uses that you said from Matthew 16, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. That's a lot of authority. That is a very powerful thing for the Son of God to hand on to someone who is very obviously in the Gospels a very imperfect man. He denies Jesus. He's confused about things a lot. A lot of times he doesn't really follow what Jesus is saying, like at the washing of the feet. But Jesus hands this authority on to not the 12 apostles, but to Peter directly. He says similar words to all the apostles later on, after he's risen from the dead, the power to forgive sins. But the power to bind to loose the keys of the kingdom of heaven is said to one person specifically. And what we believe, and I think is also very clear just from the fact that Jesus did that, such an important authority given to a human person, is that an authority that is meant to just dissolve and pass away when that person dies? Or is it something that is essential to the church that Jesus himself was founding upon this rock, who is Peter? That authority, that you have someone who has this special role as the vicar of Christ, because that's what Jesus did, was give in some measure, his own authority to Peter, is in the idea that that is something that is part of what it means to be the church and that is going to need to last through the ages, even after Peter dies. You're listening to the Archbishop Show on WNGL, Archangel Radio, 1410 AM and 94.5 FM. I'm Father Vercel, here with Pat Ahrensberg and Archbishop Brody, and we are talking about why the Pope is in Rome.
By the way, you use the term vicar.
Vicar.
And
vicar's somebody that does something on behalf of somebody else.
Mm-hmm. Again,
I can't, Archbishop, I can't wait till I have a parochial vicar. Someone who can help me out.
Help you out as the pastor. Sometimes also some of our good neighbors who are not Catholic get very caught up with the term Petros, Petra, in the Greek language,
mm-hmm.
and they try very much to say that Jesus wasn't calling Peter rock, he was calling him like a little pebble, and wasn't that significant, and the Pope is not that significant. Well, sometimes we can get bogged down in the muck here, caught in the weeds, whatever image you want to use. But Jesus didn't use the word Petros or Petra. He used the word Cephas. And there's no doubt in the Aramaic language that the word Jesus used for Simon, changing his name to Peter, was Cephas, which means rock. Jesus is making very clear that he's doing something significant here. To change someone's name means I am giving you a new role. You know, we read that in Scripture. When God changes someone's name, he's giving them a role they didn't have before. Think of some examples from Scripture where God changes someone's name.
Abram and Abraham.
Abram's name is changed to Abraham once God has chosen him to be the father of God's people. Saul to Paul. Changing Saul to Paul, sending him out. It's a break from his previous life. Now you have a new role to be the apostle to the Gentiles.
Jacob and Israel.
Exactly. And you could go, and there are others. When God changes someone's name in Scripture, it is significant. And for Jesus to say to Simon, now I'm changing your name, there's something significant here.
How else would Jesus fulfill his promise in Matthew 28 when he said, behold, I will be with you even till the end of the age. So for all time, I will be with you. If Jesus left the church without a teaching authority, without somebody that could make the final call, Christianity would be radically different. I mean, think about if you're Jesus and there's no authority, you're not leaving any authority with the church. You would have to teach them about embryonic stem cells. You'd have to teach them about euthanasia. You'd have to, and they would be looking at you like, what are you talking about? Well, Christ chose to leave his spirit with the church so that the church could continue to be a living voice in the world. But for that living voice to be clearly discernible, there had to be somebody that it would reside in, and that person was Peter. So going back to your question from a couple minutes ago, that was important for the first few years after Jesus ascended. It was also important for the next however many years. But my question for you, Father Vercel,
let me just go back just for a second.
Please.
Keep that question. But Jesus says to Peter, feed my lambs, feed my sheep. You are the shepherd I'm setting up. Now, we call Jesus the good shepherd, and that's exactly what we should. Jesus refers to himself as the shepherd. I know my sheep, they know me. But he says to Peter, after his resurrection, you are the one now in charge of the flock. Jesus knows he is going to be only physically walking the earth for a few more days. And he says to Peter, now you take care of the flock. That does not mean that Jesus ceases to be the good shepherd. But Jesus knows, being the good shepherd that he is, that he needs a shepherd with skin. A visible shepherd for the flock on earth.
And that Jesus is shepherding through him.
Yeah, essentially. Exactly.
And I find it, maybe it's just me, but I'm always struck. I think it's significant that the two scriptures you've just been talking about, Archbishop, are both from John. So in the same book, Jesus calls himself in John chapter 10, I am the good shepherd. And then 11 chapters later, he tells Peter, feed my sheep, tend my lambs, feed my sheep.
You're the shepherd.
You're the shepherd. Like, exactly. Wait, so, I mean, clearly, it's not just, well, this book said this and that. No, in the Gospel of John, Jesus says this, and then he says this.
He doesn't say that to anyone else.
No.
It's so clear, Peter, I am entrusting you a role that's unique to you.
Honestly, let's keep going with John 21, because also what happens in John 21 is there's a miraculous catch of fish. And this is what happened. Simon Peter went over and dragged the net ashore full of 153 large fish. Even though there were so many, the net was not torn. Now, every other miraculous catch of fish that we see in the Gospels, the nets tear. But here, because of Peter's care with the nets, Peter dragging the nets ashore, there's unity amongst the fish. The nets aren't torn. And I believe, gosh, I'd have to look this up. Maybe I shouldn't say it. I believe the word for tear is schism. Like the nets were not torn. It wasn't broken up. And so Peter's job to feed the sheep is what's going to keep the church in union by his authority to teach, which is something you had already said, Pat. But what was your question for me?
Well, I don't want to get to the question yet, because so we're on this. Because I think it's very interesting that Peter's given this role not because he's the holiest, the smartest, the most loyal, or any of those things. I mean, he's sort of painfully...
The Bible is embarrassingly honest of the failures of all the apostles, but perhaps no more than Peter and his failures, his faults, his sins.
And I love that Peter has just said, you are the Lord, you're the Christ. And just a few verses later, Jesus is telling him, okay, so here's the plan. I'm going to Jerusalem, and I'm going to be rejected and killed. And Peter, who just moments earlier said, you are the Christ, you're the Son of God, says, oh, that's a bad plan, Jesus, and tries to correct him. And Jesus says, get behind me, Satan. You're thinking not as God thinks, but as the world thinks. So unless Peter is teaching what Jesus wants him to teach, there's a problem. So it's Peter, not in and of his own gifts, it's through the gift of the Holy Spirit that he receives later that he's able to teach this way.
Well, just to clarify, when I said it was schism, was tear, schism is what our word for when there's a break in the church, if the listeners don't know that word. But it is, in fact, a verb, eschisthe, which comes from that same Greek word meaning tear, which we use to describe breaking the church breaking apart.
All right. Now, so I have a question for you two real intelligent guys here. Okay. So Jesus entrusts a very special ministry of being shepherd of the flock, shepherd of the church, to strengthen people in the faith, to keep them in union. Okay, now, how does that get passed on? Or does it die with Peter? And if it gets passed on, to whom does it get passed on?
Well, I think we could speculate and say it seems that it needs to be passed on. We certainly see at the end of Acts chapter 1 that the apostolic ministry can be passed on. Judas has betrayed his post, and so they cast lots and they lay hands on Matthias.
So the role of the apostles, obviously has to be passed on. The Acts of the Apostles are very clear about that, that the role of the apostles do not die with the apostles. It has to be passed on. So would you argue then that the role of the first of the apostles, Simon Peter, that has to be passed on as well?
I would argue, although I don't know that there's a scripture I can cite where we see Peter passing that authority on, because he dies.
I think what we cite is the history of the church, and that role is carried on, and that the early church has a respect for the person in that place.
Jesus would consider it, in his divine wisdom, important that the flock have a shepherd on earth, and that was Simon Peter. If it's important for the flock to have a shepherd, well, when the shepherd on earth dies, the flock is still there. So would not Jesus in his divine wisdom intend that this, that there continue to be a shepherd for his flock? You know, when Peter died, the church didn't die. The church went on. So the role of Peter had to go on. The flock was still there. And if Jesus thought it was important for the flock to have a shepherd, then he would want a shepherd as long as there's a flock.
Amen.
Agree 100%.
And history, and I will cite a scripture after all, because, you know, in John 21, he does give Peter the role of being the shepherd. So just like Jesus declared, I'm the shepherd, but now I'm getting ready to ascend to heaven, so I need to have a shepherd stand in my place. So too, when that shepherd dies, someone needs to stand in his place. You're listening to the Archbishop Show on Archangel Radio, 1410 AM, 94.5 FM. Pat Ahrensberg here with the awesome pastor of St. Vincent de Paul, Father Brazil, and the fantastic Archbishop of the Archdiocese of Mobile, Archbishop Rohde, and we're talking about why is Peter in Rome, which we haven't gotten
to
yet.
We haven't
gotten
to. Gotten no, there we've yet. Just we've just gotten to the point where obviously we'd have to do some mental gymnastics to say Jesus didn't intend for the role of Peter passed on. It is too important to Jesus that there be this role. So obviously intended it to be passed on in his flock, the church. So who wants to take this? Who is the successor of Simon Peter?
His Holiness Pope Francis.
All right. So why is the Pope in Rome? How did that come about that that's the successor of Simon Peter? I mean, we have some really nice cities in this world. Why Rome? I mean, you know, it could have been Paris.
Could have been Jerusalem.
You know.
Well, I'm going to let Father Rozell answer first, but I want to frame it by saying that by virtue of being the Bishop of Rome is what makes Jose Bergoglio, who took the name Francis, makes him
Jorge,
the Pope.
But yes, the reason why it is the Bishop of Rome that we see as the successor to Peter is because Rome is where Peter died, where he was martyred, where he was crucified with the Lord, as tradition says. He was crucified upside down. But also that sort of fits with what Jesus says in, again, the end of the Gospel of John, John 21, where we hear Jesus say to Peter, "Amen, amen, I say to you, when you were younger, you used to dress yourself and go where you wanted. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go." He said this signifying by what kind of death he would glorify God. And when he had said this, he said to him, "Follow me." Now, that doesn't mention Rome at all, but tradition very clearly shows us that is where Peter died. And so it's understood by the church that as Peter's ministry ends in Rome, that's where it would be taken back up. Also, there's a clear practical reason for that ministry to be in what was the center of the world at that time, that Rome was the political and cultural center of the ancient world. And so that's where Peter went to spread the gospel. And it's the logical place where the leadership of the church ought to be operating from in the ancient world.
Yeah, and I would say that Rome was more of a center than we can imagine. I mean, it was kind of like New York in as it was the center of culture. It was kind of like Washington in that it was the center of all political authority and movement. It was
the economic center, the financial center, the cultural center. All roads lead to Rome was the saying in the Roman Empire. Rome was the heart of the known world. And that's where Peter went to proclaim the gospel.
And knowing that if it took root there, all those roads that lead to Rome also lead from Rome out to all over the world. And so it was important.
And it was there, you know, because that was not the first place where Peter lived. He lived in other places. When he left Jerusalem and he traveled, he lived in other places. He lived in Antioch. But it was to Rome that he decided to go. And it was in Rome that he decided to be martyred. He could have left Rome when the persecutions began. He could have left town, gotten out of town. He chose to stay there. And it was obviously prompted by the Holy Spirit. He decided to stay here. This is where Jesus wanted him to be. As you said earlier, you know, that Jesus predicts his martyrdom in the Gospels by saying, you know, you will be led where you do not want to go. And, you know, even there, we see the humanness and the flaws of Peter, because Peter was not Jesus' favorite apostle. It's John, is the one the Gospels say that the apostle Jesus loved. And when Jesus predicts Peter's martyrdom, the Gospels record, Peter points to John and says, well, what about him? You know, you're going to have...
I love Peter.
You see the humanness of Peter, but you see his flaws. And Jesus says to Peter, what is it to you if I let him live until the end of the world? You, Peter, come follow me. And that's a very clear that this decision of Jesus to choose Peter is not just a decision of I like you better than the others. Actually, the Gospels indicate he liked John better than the others. That Jesus liked John better than the others. It's Peter, I've chosen you for this. And it's going to be tough, but I'm entrusting you something that I'm not even entrusting to my favorite, John. I'm entrusting this to you.
And as Christians, as Catholics, we believe that, you know, well, we know historically there would have been Christians in Rome before Peter got there, and they would have had a bishop. They would have had somebody who was the overseer. And maybe they even had a second overseer. And before Peter got there, if the overseer or the bishop died and was replaced, he would not have been the pope.
But after
once Peter got there and he was the overseer, then the successor, who is the bishop, is also successor to Peter, the rock. And that's where we get the line of whoever the bishop of Rome is a successor of Peter.
Continues the ministry that Jesus entrusted to Peter.
We did it.
Shall we close with a blessing?
Please.
May the blessing of God be upon you and your loved ones, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
You've been listening to The Archbishop Show with Archbishop Thomas J. Rohde and featuring Father Stephen Verzel as well as Patrick Ahrensberg. And now, stay tuned for more solid Catholic programming on Archangel Radio, broadcasting all that is good, true, and beautiful.